What an honor and a privilege to be here at McGregor Road Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? Every time you assemble as a church, it's big deal. It's what God is involved with. It's what Jesus is interested in. I mean, he's walking in our midst, folks. I mean, this is a golden candlestick as far as God is concerned. I mean, you're not just a candlestick. You're a golden candlestick. This church means a lot to Jesus. And your involvement, how you treat this church, is how you treat the body of Christ. It's so important. And so treat it as that, and God will bless you for it. Acts chapter 13, verse 26, all the way down to verse number 33. Acts chapter 13, verse 26 to 33. If I can draw your attention to this missionary preaching, the preaching of Paul to the Antioch, city of Antioch in Turkey, in Pisidia, not the Antioch in Syria where he was sent out from, but this is the one where he did his first missionary endeavor to plant churches, and that's what he did, and that's what Barnabas and Paul did, planting biblical Baptist churches. Verse 26, Acts 13, 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which did read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desire that Pilate, that he should be slain. And they had fulfilled all that was written of him. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as also it was written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Let's pray and ask God to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for fulfilling, validating every word of the Old Testament when you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Lord. We thank you, we serve a risen Savior. We thank you. This is glad tidings, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the tomb is empty, and therefore we have a bright future ahead of us, Lord, as believers. God, I pray to encourage hearts, Lord. I pray heavy hearts would be lifted. And I pray, God, that cold hearts would be challenged, Lord. And we just pray that we draw closer to you. Bless your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, Paul's message is a message of salvation. So Paul and Barnabas would go to a synagogue. The synagogue Jews would be reading the laws and the prophets, and they would turn to a rabbi or perceived master in the law and would say, would you like to give a word of exhortation? Would you like to say something nice? And you know, when Paul got up, he doesn't just say something nice. He preaches to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the glad tidings that he is the Messiah. He fulfilled the scriptures, and God raised him from the dead. And that was his message. God did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. And so the message hasn't changed. Amen. Jesus died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried according to the scriptures, and 3 days, after 3 days, three nights in the grave, he resurrected according to the scriptures. And so this is the message we bring. This is what Paul brought to Antioch. In 2 Corinthians 4, 5, the beginning of that letter there, the chapter 4, verse 5, he says, we preach not ourselves, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. So when Paul came to Antioch and he was there in that synagogue, he didn't didn't tell them how to be a good daddy, didn't tell them how to be a good mommy, didn't tell them how to be a better person, didn't tell them about politics, didn't tell them how to be conservative, didn't tell them how to follow health protocols so you don't have a pandemic. He did not tell them how to invest their money so they can experience economic revival. This is not the message of Paul. And the message of Paul is Jesus died on the cross for you, for your sins, and then God raised him from the dead. And so it validates everything that Jesus said, who he was and what he was about and who his Father is and what God is all about. The tomb is empty. His body is not there. But look, notice the reaction of the people. Verse 28, and as Paul was preaching, he mentions this, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Get rid of Jesus. No, we don't find any fault in him. There's no reason for him to be executed, but we don't like him. Do away with him. Crucify him, they would say. You know, but for the grace of God, that's exactly what I would say. That's exactly what our society is doing. This is why people put no trespassing signs on their doors. They don't want someone knocking on their door and inviting them to church and telling them about Jesus Christ. Jesus is not welcomed by this world. They don't like him. But for the grace of God, we would be yelling and screaming, crucify him, do away with him. And Paul's message is not a life of wealth, health, and happiness. Paul's message is this: God promised us a Savior. The seed promise in Genesis 3:15, the lesson that Abraham learned in Genesis 22 as he brought Isaac to the mount and he's about to slay Isaac, and God says, stop, and then he finds in a thicket a ram that was caught in a thicket, and that ram is to be the substitute for Isaac. And of course, Abraham saw the day of Christ and understood that God the Father would send his Son to die in his place for his sin as a sacrifice, a blood atonement sacrifice for his sin. And when he placed his faith and trust in the Messiah and the Lord and Jehovah God, it was counted unto him for righteousness, the scriptures say. It was that what Isaiah saw in Isaiah 53, verse number 5 and 6. Let's see, Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. These precious words. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, Jehovah, laid on him, Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Oh, and so we have God promised his only begotten Son to be a sin sacrifice. He's the sin bearer. But it doesn't end there. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 30. This is one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture because it means everything. Verse 30, Acts 13, verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. So man owes a debt he cannot pay. So God came down in the form of man to pay that debt on man's behalf. And it's all validated when God received his sacrifice by raising him up from the dead? What happens when a person comes to know the risen Savior? He knows him as a sin bearer, and now he claims him as his risen Savior. Well, you know what happens? Your sins are forgiven. All of your sins are forgiven. Now, do you see it? Do you feel it? Do you taste it? No. Well, how do you know your sins are forgiven? God raised him from the dead. That's why you know your sins are forgiven. You know you have a home in heaven? Have you seen it? Can you check up on it? How do you know? Because God raised him from the dead. And so he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, how do you know it's so? Well, God raised him from the dead. You shall never perish, but have everlasting life. How would you know that? Because God raised him from the dead. Without being born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you born again? Well, how do you know you're born again? Because God raised him from the dead. Do you have peace with God? And do you have the peace of God ruling your heart? How do you know? Because God raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the empty tomb, is proof, is the evidence. The eyewitnesses, yes, they are proof. They attest, they confirm, they verify. The transformed disciples from coward, forsaking the Lord, to bold preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations, preaching the good news. How did that happen? Where did they find their power and boldness? A risen Savior. God raised him from the dead. The empty tomb, the missing body. This is God fulfilling everything.
Right.
So, do we have prophecies in the scriptures that have yet to be fulfilled? Well, then how do we know they're going to be fulfilled? Because God raised him from the dead. The message hasn't changed.
Right.
This is the message we bring to Taguig City. When we preach on the street corner, when we knock on doors inviting people to church, when we hand out literature and distribute tracts and have all different kinds of evangelistic Bible studies here and evangelistic Bible studies there. And it's all different kinds of ways of saying God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. It authenticated who Jesus Christ says he was. He said he was the Son of God. How do you know that? Well, he resurrected. All the promises of Scripture will be fulfilled because he was raised from the dead. Death and hell could not hold its prey because God raised him from the dead. His resurrection anticipated his ascension and his exaltation at the right hand of God the Father. How do I know that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father? Because the tomb is empty. God raised him from the dead. This guarantees, folks, that if you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your future is bright.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know what you're going through.
Right.
But if you're born again saved and you know him as your Lord and Savior, all bad news is going to come. I'm sure your faith is going to get tested. But friend, if you're saved, the best is yet to come. Don't live for now.
Right.
Don't believe that this is it. This is your heaven. Oh, that's if you're not saved, I really pity you if you're not saved. This is the only heaven you'll ever experience. Oh, this is it. Live it up, folk. Because after this is a lake of fire. His resurrection is also our invitation. It's an invitation for those who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Hey, folks, the tomb is empty. He's willing and ready to save. And for us who do know Him as Lord and Savior, it's a reminder to live for Him. It's a reminder to sow and sow good so that you can reap God's blessing. It's a reminder to keep on continuing on trusting and believing Him regardless of the situation, to order your life underneath the Master, the risen Savior, the coming King. If you're born again, I guarantee you, in our dispensation, God wants you to be assimilated into a biblical Baptist church. We talk about Old Testament theocracy. Well, guess what New Testament theocracy is? God rules and reigns as the head of His body, the church, this church. And this is the only place that acknowledges the authority of God in our dispensation. So if you're aloof from church, you are aloof from God. And I was just talking to a brother here. Surrender is a moment-by-moment choice. You can be spiritual for the minute and then totally in the flesh carnal the next minute. And so constantly you need to be reminded and challenged. Yield yourself over to God. Cling unto the Lord. And He will enable you. He will enable you by His grace. I mean, that grace that resurrected Christ is that grace, that Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us that will enable us to live for Him. And we need to trust in Him, not the flesh. Okay. And that's my message tonight to you. The tomb is empty, and it's worth serving Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for these glad tidings, these words of salvation. Lord, I pray, God, that if there's some who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior tonight, and it didn't matter if they memorized Scripture, it didn't matter if they were nice and well-behaved, it didn't matter if they were disciplined or taught or structured, and it didn't matter if they were nice and proper and try to be cordial. None of those works will take them to heaven. I pray that they would humbly come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would repent of self and sin and accept Jesus Christ before it's too late. I pray, Father, for us, Lord, who know You, help us to draw closer to You. Help us to live in the light of an empty tomb, Lord, the resurrected Savior. Help us to walk in newness of life. Bring us back to that, Lord, I pray. Help us to walk in that. In Jesus' name, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed,